Welcome to today's deep dive.
Yeah.
Imagine a city, right? With absolutely no traffic lights, no lanes, no rules.
Just cars driving wherever they want at top speed.
Exactly. Just total chaos.
Yeah.
And in the industrial engineering world, well, that is what a control panel looks like without wiring ducts. Just this dangerous, tangled liability of copper spaghetti.
It's a complete mess.
Right. So our mission today is pulling from an authoritative product guide on control panel wiring ducts. And we're exploring how these, simple-looking plastic and metal channels are actually highly engineered safety systems.
Yeah, they do a lot more than you'd think.
But okay, I have to push back right away. Like, if this is really just about making the panel look neat and pretty for inspectors, why not just grab a giant pack of industrial zip ties, bundle everything up, and, call it a day?
Well, because bundling wires like that actually creates a physical hazard. I mean, this is really about physics, not just aesthetics.
Okay, physics how?
So ducts create defined paths, right? They shield conductors from moving parts and sharp edges. But more importantly, they physically limit electromagnetic interference, or EMI.
Ah, the invisible stuff.
Exactly. Like if you zip tie a high voltage power cable directly next to a sensitive data line, you are essentially asking for corrupted signals.
Gotcha. So we are basically building different types of pathways for different kinds of current. What does that routing actually look like when you're designing a panel?
You really have to match the duct to the specific zone. So for control sections that need frequent rework, you'd use slotted PVC ducts.
Slotted meaning they have holes in them.
Yeah, they have these breakaway fingers along the side, so technicians can just snap off a piece and exit a wire exactly where it needs to go.
Wait, hang on. If those fingers are designed to just snap off, doesn't that make the duct, like, inherently fragile? I mean, I wouldn't want brittle plastic housing critical wiring.
Right, but it's a specialized PVC formulation, so it's rigid enough to hold its shape under a load, but it's scored at the base.
Oh, so it only breaks when you want it to.
Exactly. It yields cleanly only when intentionally snapped by a tool. But that's just for control wires. For your power feeders, those generate massive amounts of electrical noise.
So what do you use for those?
You use solid wall ducts, and those are usually made of steel.
Ah, okay. So the steel acts like a quarantine zone. It actively locks that electromagnetic infection inside so it can't bleed over into the delicate data signals.
That is a great way to look at it. And then finally, for hinged cabinet doors, you actually have to switch to a flexible nylon or polyethylene duct.
Because of the movement.
Yeah, those incorporate strain relief and service loops.
Let's unpack that for a second. Mechanically speaking, what are those loops actually doing?
Well, a service loop is essentially just leaving a calculated amount of slack in the wire. And the strain relief clamps it so the tension doesn't pull at the connection point.
Okay, so it gives it room to breathe.
Right, because without them, bending the wire back and forth every single time the door opens, well, that would quickly fatigue the copper and literally crack the insulation.
Yikes. So we have our flexible bridges, our slotted local roads, and our steel quarantine zones. But, I mean, if these channels are doing such a great job protecting the wires, it's tempting to just pack them completely full, to save space.
Oh, definitely.
So what is stopping an engineer from just stuffing a duct to 100% capacity?
Well, the industry standard rule is actually a 50% fill capacity.
Wait, 50, just half.
Yep. So if you have, say, a 60 by 60 millimeter duct, the internal area is 3,600 square millimeters, but you only budget for 1,800 of that.
See, that seems incredibly wasteful. Are there actual legal codes enforcing this empty space, or is that just like an industry best practice?
No, it is strict code. So in North America, you have standards like UL 508A, and internationally, it's IEC 602041.
Okay, so you really have to do it, but why leave it empty?
Because overfilled ducts trap heat, and that quickly degrades the insulation. But the biggest factor is that keeping lines separated is absolutely mandatory to prevent magnetic coupling between the circuits.
Interesting. So how does the empty space actually stop that? Like, what's the mechanism there?
It really comes down to the inverse square law.
Throwing some physics at me, okay.
Yeah. The strength of a magnetic field drops off drastically with distance. So keeping your 24-volt DC signal wires physically separated from your 230-volt AC circuits, well, it means those few inches of empty air literally act as an invisible physical shield.
Wow. So the empty space is doing active work to prevent data corruption.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And I assume the physical materials of the decks themselves are regulated too, right? Not just the layout.
Completely. I mean, if you are building for food processing or rail applications, you absolutely must use halogen-free ducts to limit toxic smoke if there's a fire.
Right. You have to limit that hazard.
Gosh.
Well, it's wild. Treating wire duct layout as a first-class design decision clearly guarantees decades of safety and uptime. It really is the foundation of the system.
It totally is. When you respect those capacities and materials, the system remains safe to maintain for years to come.
Which leaves you, the listener, with this to ponder. Next time you look at a highly organized server rack or control panel, remember the incredible work that Empty Airspace is doing. What invisible electromagnetic battles are being fought simply by the spacing of those plastic channels?
It's a lot of invisible battle.
Right. But as our factory equipment gets smaller and our data speeds get exponentially faster, how much longer can physical airspace protect us before we need a completely new way to wire the world?